Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Currently on administrative leave in the Florida Panhandle, an Okaloosa County deputy who shot and killed Air Force senior airman Roger Fortson in his own apartment. Was it justified?
The officer receiving a report of a disturbance. His family claiming authorities had the wrong apartment, but authorities claimed the officer was at the right apartment. It's unclear whether Fortson did something that led to the report of a disturbance. His family says no one else was in the apartment. They say Fortson was a decorated patriot who loved his country.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Another state trying to take over federal duties. The Justice Department suing to stop Iowa's law empowering local police to go after people in the U.S. illegally. Crystal Kaiser pleaded guilty in Kenosha, Wisconsin, to reckless homicide. She was charged with murder for fatally shooting Randall Volar in 2018 and argued she was immune because Volar was sexually trafficking her when she was 17. This is ABC News. Two backcountry skiers were killed Thursday in an avalanche in the mountains outside Salt Lake City. A third skier dug himself out of the snow and called for help. Salt Lake County Sheriff Rosie Rivera says recovering the bodies will not happen immediately.
We have not gone up yet because it's unsafe for our folks to go up there. So they're going to be doing some mitigation to make it safe for our folks to go up.
They plan to go up Friday morning, weather permitting. Nearly 112,000 guns were reported stolen in 2022, half of them from cars.
An analysis of FBI data by the gun safety group Everytown says gun thefts from cars has tripled over the past decade, a jump that began during the pandemic. Most of the time, the weapons were in vehicles parked in driveways or outside people's homes, and many of the guns were used in violent crimes. ATF Director Steve Dettenbach, whose agency has found similar numbers, says people don't steal firearms from locked cars to go hunting.
ABC Sherry Preston. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training, plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. House Republicans say they're tired of fighting with other members of their own party. All five GOP representatives from Wisconsin voted against removing Mike Johnson as Speaker Wednesday. The Republicans' right wing wanted Johnson out over recent bills approving government spending and aid to Ukraine. Former Wisconsin Congressman and U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan says Donald Trump has nowhere to go but down, but that President Biden needs to work his way up.
Trump can't win, but Biden can lose, meaning Trump's polling at his peak pretty much in all the swing states. He's basically polling at the best he has, at the best he can get, and Biden's underperforming everywhere.
Ryan handicapping the presidential race at the Milken Global Institute conference this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers still in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers still in a tie for first place with the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Milwaukee losing to the Royals in Kansas City 6-4. The Cubs losing 2 of 3 games after hosting the Padres. The Brewers opening a 4-game series tonight against the Cardinals. NBA, the Bucks, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, the older brother of Giannis, has suffered a torn Achilles that will require surgery. That according to The Athletic. Doc Rivers went 19-23 this season, including the playoffs. playoffs as the head coach of the Bucks and talked about what's next in the offseason and if he's back next year.
You know, I have the job, and, you know, this summer is very important. You know, building everything around the players the right way, building the team the right way, doing everything, being all together. It'll be nice for me having an understanding of our guys, how to use them, how to play them. So, yeah, there's some advantages to this for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear. Lower 40s by daybreak. We'll have light winds in the overnight. On your Friday, mostly sunny skies. Highs approaching the 70-degree mark. A couple of showers and thunderstorms possible in the late day. Those chances end Friday night. Right now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kristi Noem. Yep, we're finally talking about her. Tune in tomorrow. You cannot miss this.
Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the third hour of our program. On the line with us is Ali Velshi, the host of MSNBC's Velshi, the author of a new book, Small Acts of Courage, A Legacy of Endurance and the Fight for Democracy. Ali, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be with you. It's been too long. Thank you for having me back.
I agree. Thank you. Let's just go through the book. I found this to be just an extraordinary, touching, brilliant, informative. I mean, you know, where you get into, like, you know, sort of in the middle of the book, getting into some of these issues like, you know, the Francophone culture in Canada, and is this racist? And let's just start at the beginning here.
I know you'd like it because you like to sort of see contemporary events in the context of history, so I figured you'd appreciate that.
I love this book, and I encourage everybody to. I mean, this is an inspiring book as well as it's just marvelous. You start the book talking about getting shot. And you said that led to an epiphany, which in turn led to this book. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I was in Minneapolis. It was after the killing of George Floyd. You know, it was the early days right after that where the video was all out there. Everybody knew what had happened. And yet, initially, the cops were not charged with anything. There was a remarkable frustration. There were demonstrations in Minneapolis. And on the Saturday night after he had been killed, it had been Monday in which he had been killed. On Saturday night, I was walking with a group of, I don't know if you want to call them protesters. They were marchers. They were ralliers. They were walking. It was entirely peaceful. They were singing songs. And suddenly the police got involved and closed off an intersection and started firing rubber bullets and gas canisters, tear gas canisters and flashbangs. And there was no provocation for this at all. And as we're covering it, you know, as the tear gas came out, the crowd pushed back. So I'm now closest to the police and they could see us. We had cameras. We were there. In theory, they should have been looking through a scope. The whole point of a rubber bullet is it hits the ground, not you. And I got hit. While live on TV. And it occurred to me in that moment, Tom, that, you know, 50 years earlier than that, my parents had struggled getting from, you know, my grandparents, great-grandparents went from India to South Africa, and they really tried to fight racism in South Africa, which became apartheid, and they went to Kenya where, you know, they wanted to be part of a full society, and they finally made it to Canada, and I had made it to the United States. And I thought to myself, at least the fight for the basics about democracy and equality are over for us. And that's not true. And it was in that moment I realized I've had a very privileged upbringing. There are a lot of things wrong with our society, and we as journalists have to play a substantial role in fixing those wrongs.
Yeah. Oh, man. I saw you on TV when you were shot. I was watching. I remember it well. From there, you get now stepping back into your family's history. You talk about between 1830 and 1870, nearly 2 million workers left. This is after Britain basically, you know, screwed up India. Yeah. Left the country in search of better prospects. That was the big bang, you write. The Indian diaspora was born. And that led to your grandfather, ultimately ending up in Mahatma Gandhi's ashram. Tell us about that.
Well, my family had gone from Gujarat, and when you were leaving, if you were leaving Gujarat in the 1800s, you probably went from the port of Bombay, and then you went on the ships that went from Bombay, and many of those went to Africa. Some went to the West Indies, but typically they weren't going to Europe and America. So my family ended up in South Africa. Small business people. When I say small, I mean they had push carts and wagons out of which they would sell vegetables and things like that. But my great-grandfather made it into a bit of a business. You know, where they had a storefront and things like that. And as a businessman, he needed an accountant. He's Gujarati. Gandhi was in South Africa. He was a lawyer. He was Gujarati, too. They happened to share the same accountant. The accountant introduces them, and my great-grandfather and Gandhi become friends. Gandhi lives in Johannesburg. My great-grandfather lives in Pretoria. Gandhi would have to come to Pretoria to negotiate with the government, you know, through all his agitations. And he'd stay with my great-grandfather. One day they're sitting around, and he says to my great-grandfather, you know, people don't seem to have the spine, the courage to fight this racial injustice in this country because they're fearful it'll cost them something. And that was very true of Indians in many places in the diaspora, in that they were there, they kind of wanted to keep their heads low. Gandhi wanted to form an ashram or a commune to train people to go to prison, basically. And he asked my great-grandfather, can you give me your son, 7 years old at the time, this is the man who would become my grandfather, as my youngest student. And my great-grandfather was thinking to himself, we're Muslims. You're a Hindu. How can I send my son in his formative years to be in a Hindu ashram? And Gandhi says, I will read your religion. I will learn it to teach it to him. And Gandhi not only read Islam, he read Judaism, he read Christianity, and of course Hinduism. And that became part of his pluralistic view of the world. But my grandfather became the youngest of 70 inmates, if you will, on this commune who grew up self-sufficient, no hot water, no meat. You grew all of the food you ate. And the point was to be ready to fight injustice and go to prison if you have to.
Yeah. The Tolstoy Farm, as I recall it was called.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Remarkable. So from there, you talk about moving from South Africa to Kenya to Canada. And I want to get back to Kenya in a moment, but you say, as a kid, this is on page 70, as a kid, I never understood it. If I'm being honest, you're talking about your father here, being his son sometimes bordered on the unpleasant. We didn't have any leisure activities. It was always work, politics, volunteering, that sort of thing. I grew up thinking that life was not fun, although it's not to say that our lives are miserable. This seems kind of consistent with the immigrant experience, as I've learned about. My grandfather was a Norwegian immigrant to the United States in 1917. Came and lived in Chicago, and he and his three brothers started a furniture building, you know, fine furniture store. They were craftsmen. And I certainly saw that in my grandfather. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I write about it that way because as a kid, comparing yourself to other kids for whom that ethos didn't exist because it didn't need to exist. They were living in Canada. There was no particular challenge to doing so. In my family, they were on this decades-long search for democracy, equality, full participation in society. So all of their work was going to go into that. It was going into building civil society, because as people who grew up in South Africa who could not vote by virtue of the color of their skin, they were going to take every possible opportunity they could to be involved. So they would volunteer for organizations. They went to all the functions of all the political parties. There were three major political parties at the time to try and figure out where they felt most at home. They ended up learning that they were liberals in Canada, which is how it was for most immigrants through that generation. But it wasn't leisure and it wasn't fun. And it's not that I think my parents wouldn't have enjoyed leisure or fun, but they were on a mission. They had had to leave their home country. They had gone to another country to make a go of it, and they weren't able to do so. So Canada was the last stop. It had to work for them. And that meant we were not going to have a carefree upbringing. We were going to work. We were going to talk. We were going to talk about the news. We were going to watch the news. We were going to debate issues. And we were going to come to conclusions as a family. And then we were going to exercise our civic responsibilities, the least of which was voting. I mean, we worked in every election I could remember since I was a little kid. But the point is, voting was the price of admission. It was everything else that mattered.
Yeah, I get it. It was that way with my father and grandfather as well. Moving along to page 97, the Pretoria Bakers called up your dad and asked him to stop. The bread war dragged on and on. At that point in July 1960, my father, mother, and grandparents decided to leave. We're talking about now leaving South Africa and going to Nairobi, Kenya. Tell us about that.
My dad had two sisters who had married people who were from Kenya. So we had some footing there. It was also a very, very big center for Indians diasporically. So we knew people there. My parents could see the writing on the wall because my grandfather and my father and his brother were running this family bakery, which had become a very big operation. It was a commercial bakery. They baked 4,000 loaves of bread an hour. And of course had attracted the ire of the government because they were taking the money from that bakery and they were financing anti-apartheid activities. They were doing the kinds of things to, you know, to make society a better place. So ultimately the government came in and you know, their fellow bakers sort of forced them out of business. The government came in, bulldozed the bakery. This was 1961. My dad and my grandfather were standing together watching the bakery come down, this bakery they had built. My dad said it was the only time he ever saw his father cry. And strangely, my 58-year-old grandfather was dead a week later of a heart attack. My father thinks it's heartbreak as much as it was heart attack, but he died of a heart attack. My parents then decided, let's get out of here. So they moved to Kenya, pre-independence Kenya. It was a colonial country. And one day, Tom, you and I can talk about all the great things colonialism did for the world. It kind of wrecked every country it ever went into.
Yep.
But Kenya was on the verge of throwing off the yoke of colonialism, and they wanted to be in a free country. So even when they got there, it was a colonial country, but it was not like South Africa. It didn't have that Byzantine set of racist rules that was apartheid. People could walk on the same sidewalks. Everybody went to the same movie theater. It was racist. There's no question. But it was better than South Africa, and they were hoping that was going to be their future. It was ultimately where I was born.
Yeah. Now, moving along, the chapter about splinters and asses, I have to be careful. We're on commercial radio. My parents had never embraced South Africa art and culture, you write on page 99, because they've been told under threat of force that it wasn't theirs. But then on page 118, you talk about in South Africa, my parents had been citizens, albeit second class. Now, Kenya offered them true citizenship. I think you just mentioned that. But then you got into Ismaili. Muslims. Yeah. This is a word I was unfamiliar with, and I learned about.
Okay.
So tell me about the type of Islam. You're a member of a very, very small minority group within a very large religion.
Yeah, it's probably tens of millions around the world, but in the context of Islam, it's tiny. Some Muslims think of Ismailis as heretics, but that's how religion goes, right? People don't necessarily. The ones closest to you are the ones most troublesome. It is a sect of Islam that embraces modernity and pluralism and democracy and sort of encourages people to be civil actors, right? Encourages people to build the countries in which they live, and as a result, it has a remarkably robust infrastructure within the community, so you can exist as in Smiley, and it'll take care of your births and your deaths and your financial counseling and your language training and your job training and your marriage counseling if you need it. So that's the world in which they grew up. And what typically happens with Ismailis around the world is you will see them being the people who hold office or work in the bureaucracies or find themselves into sort of areas of employment that are a little less than traditional because they are born organizers within the community and then without as well. So that is what primed my family and so many others, by the way, who came to the Western world and moved into the democratic world to sort of not have a very long transition period, to be able to get in here and say, I'm here. Where do I sign up? What do I have to do to be full participants? And ultimately, by the time they got to Canada, what that led to...
Allie, forgive the interruption. Can you hang on for another 10 minutes?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, great. We're going to have to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. It's 18 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Allie Velshi about his new book, Small Acts of Courage.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be right back with Allie Velshi, MSNBC's Allie Velshi, and his new book, The Small Acts of Courage, A Legacy of Endurance and the Fight for Democracy. Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not going to pay more. You're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're going to see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and then they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
You won't want to miss this. Wisconsin Arts West kicks off its 45th year. The exhibition showcases artists and students with a diverse range of talents and creativity. There's something for everyone to enjoy. Running May 7th through the 20th at L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library on Eau Claire Street in Eau Claire. If food is more your fancy, Food Truck Fridays are back. Starting Friday, May 10th, head over to the Chippewa Valley Mazda parking lot in Chippewa Falls, where you'll find all kinds of trucks offering all types of delicious goodness. Get lunch from 11 to 2 every Friday through September. And it's a double header of action on four wheels at the Spring Thaw Derby Brawl. Catch two games of hard-hitting roller derby action on Saturday, May 11th. It starts at 3 p.m. at Hobbs Ice Arena on Menominee Street in Eau Claire. Enjoy! And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. And welcome back. We're talking with Ali Velshi. His guy, MSNBC's Ali Velshi, has a new book out, Small Acts of Courage, A Legacy of Endurance and the Fight for Democracy. And we were just, Ali and I were just talking about the impact of, or how, you know, the issue of, I suppose, immigration and whatnot. Ali, on page 182, you talk about your parents arriving and starting their travel business in 71 and joining the Liberal Party in Canada in 72. How that worked, and in fact, you go on page 185 about how we don't have in Canada, we didn't have 50 different election systems, just one. Election periods are proscribed, are short, 6 weeks, tight limits on campaign finance. What can America learn from Canada?
I mean, this was the heart of the book. This is literally what I was trying to explain to people. Voting does not have to be complicated. It just doesn't have to be that complicated. We figured it out in Canada. You are assumed to be registered to vote. You don't have to do it the other way. You don't have to go there. People come to your house to try and find you to make you vote. There's none of this nonsense about it being illegal to help people vote, help people register to vote, give them food if they vote. I mean, when my dad was running elections, we literally fed them coming and going, which is the way it should be. We should be providing every incentive possible to make it easy for people to vote. And again, Tom, voting is the price of it. Admission into a democracy. It's the least of the responsibilities that you have as a citizen. And many of the arguments I make in the book is that there's much more that we can do. If you feel imperiled, which I kind of do, I do think that democracy in America is imperiled and around the world is imperiled, we have agency. We have the ability to actually do that. But that's my belief has always been, let's make it as easy as we can for people to vote. And Canada is a fantastic example of how to do that. I understand everybody wants to do it differently. It's 50 different presidential elections, but we could just employ best practices, right? We could all get together and say, which are the ones that work the best? Which are the ones that really don't? Because it makes it hard for people to turn out and vote. I was in Philadelphia the other night. They had a municipal election. The turnout was 19%. Okay. We have a lot of work to do, Tom, when we've got 19% turning out for some elections, especially things like local elections, which really matter to your day-to-day life. So I really want to make it easier to vote, and then I want to make people understand that citizenship is not just a series of rights. It's a series of obligations as well.
I get it. We just have a minute left here before we hit the break at the end of this block. You write on page, 238, the arc of history bends the way you bend it. Your earliest impression of America when you were living in Canada and watching American television. And you say, we didn't have guns in Canada and Toronto's brick houses didn't catch on fire. You want to speak to that?
Yeah, it was funny because we got our American news from Buffalo. You know, most of the Canadian population lives within 200 miles of the U.S. border, so they get American TV. And the lead on the news, the local news every night, was either a fire or some kind of gun battle. And I really grew up thinking America was on fire and everybody was doing battle all the time. Obviously, America is much more sophisticated than that, and I learned that. But that was the distinction. The other thing that really upset me is they ran commercials for Carvel, and there was no Carvel in Canada. So I kind of grew up hating America. Just a little bit, because I could never have that Carvel ice cream.
The ice cream. And then you talk about the movie Gandhi, Martin Sheen, in that he's the guy who inspired you, that character.
That's right. Webb Walker was a real guy. He was a real reporter, and he was there covering Gandhi's salt march to the water. And it was one of those things where it was a pointless march. People were just getting beaten by the soldiers and injured. But he called in a dispatch, and that made it to the newspapers. And that's how the world saw what was going on. And that, Tom, takes us full circle to the whole point of being a journalist. And that is, we bear witness to show people the things that they cannot see themselves, and then we hold them to account.
There you go. The book is Small Acts of Courage by Ali Velshi. Ali, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Thank you for having me on, my friend.
That's been an honor.
Love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream, like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money, and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560. Paid for by NPS.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you are making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt. That's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. That's 800-298-9093.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Currently on administrative leave in the Florida Panhandle, an Okaloosa County deputy who shot and killed Air Force senior airman Roger Fortson in his own apartment. Was it justified?
The officer receiving a report of a disturbance. His family claiming authorities had the wrong apartment, but authorities claimed the officer was at the right apartment. It's unclear whether Fortson did something that led to the report of a disturbance. His family says no one else was in the apartment. They say Fortson was a decorated patriot who loved his country.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Another state trying to take over federal duties. The Justice Department suing to stop Iowa's law empowering local police to go after people in the U.S. illegally. Crystal Kaiser pleaded guilty in Kenosha, Wisconsin to reckless homicide. She was charged with murder for fatally shooting Randall Volar in 2018 and argued she was immune because Volar was sexually trafficking her when she was 17. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is touting Microsoft's multi-billion dollar new investment in southeast Wisconsin, 6 years after Donald Trump broke ground for Foxconn, where 13,000 people were supposed to work.
Are you kidding me? Look what happened. They dug a hole with those golden shovels, and then they fell into it.
Microsoft is building a new AI data center the White House says will create thousands of jobs. Green Bay city leaders are considering rewriting the city's liquor laws for next year's NFL draft. Alders got their first look at the proposal for the changes this week. They include letting bars stay open till 4 in the morning and letting people drink on the streets. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. More news from Tom Brady's Netflix roast last weekend. Comedian and roast stalwart Jeff Ross making a joke about Patriots owner Robert Kraft's love affair with massage therapy happy endings appeared to seriously anger Brady, who went up to Ross and said, "Knock it off." A couple days ago, Ross told Rich Eisen, however, that everybody loved it, including Brady and Kraft. Ross says he understood Brady's initial reaction, adding that Robert Kraft is like Brady's dad. Ross continued saying that afterwards, Kraft told him personally that he was really happy to get a shout-out. It is unclear if he meant just mildly amused or full-blown massage table happy. Speaking of the Brady roast, Kim Kardashian was mercilessly booed when she took the stage, but those who watch on Netflix will not hear the boo birds. Netflix said the decision was theirs and not Kardashian's to remove the boos, so when it comes to the mega-rich like Kraft and Kardashian, you can't make fun of things that actually happened. Nice to see billionaires finally catching a break. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear, lower 40s by daybreak. We'll have light winds in the overnight. On your Friday, mostly sunny skies, highs approaching the 70-degree mark. A couple of showers and thunderstorms possible in the late day. Those chances end Friday night. It's 53 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area at 10:33. All show long, we honor Mother's Day with your favorite mom memories. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off on Nature's Blend. Plus, get a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. Your dog's results can and will vary. All dogs are unique. Message and data rates may apply. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour, and thank you for hanging on, the folks on the phone line here. That was just an absolutely fascinating conversation with Ali Velshi. The book is remarkable, and I just highly recommend it. Small Acts of Courage. Patty in Newark, New York. Hey, Patty, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. I'm so glad to get a chance to talk with you. I tell you, I got to climb up your hiney for just a second here and let you know we love your honesty and your outspokenness in this area. There's a lot of Republicans around here, and I'm surrounded by them, but we love the fact you said earlier about Trump. They found out in court today that he was running his personal businesses out of the White House, signing checks, doing all these things. And then matter of factly, you just said he's a freaking one-man crime wave. And I'm telling you, that's a fact. You were right on point, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think I said that it was a crime, and I'm not sure that that's actually the case. Although.
Well, he is a one man freaking crime show.
Yeah. I'll give you that. Absolutely.
Yes.
I do think that by running his businesses, who were involved in taking money from foreign governments, and you had the Saudis, you had Russians, you had multiple people from other countries that wanted things from Trump, who were booking like literally entire floors of his hotel and then never even showing up and using the rooms. These were just clearly, in my opinion, bribes to him. And I think, you know, the crime part of that is that these are violations of the Emoluments Clause, which is part of the Constitution, which is, the supreme criminal law of our land, the supreme law of our land. And so I think you could build a case that it was criminal what he did. But
wasn't he also renting these rooms at crazy amounts to our own FBI to protect him?
That's right. And the Secret Service. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you mean, Secret Service, yes. Yeah, I mean, my God. But you're saying he's a freaking one-man crime wave. Do you mind if I put that on tribal? Because I know you're on tribal.
Yes, I am. Yeah, please, you know, feel free. It's I don't think it's unique to me. I probably read it someplace else. Patty, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. It's so nice to hear from you. Carol in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hey, Carol, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
Well, I want to have a shout out to, it says behind every successful man is a successful woman.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To Louise.
Indeed.
And also Mark. You're one of your, I know Mark's not a woman, Mark, but thank you.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a real quick, I have two things, very important. One, could you give me an update, those two Biden appointees for the post office? Where are they now, and what's going on with the post office? That's the first one.
I don't know, Carol. I'm sorry. I believe that they're before the Senate. It would be a question to ask Chuck Schumer, I believe, but I just don't know.
Okay, maybe somebody will call in with an update on that, too. And the other one, I don't know if you could get him on the show, but all these polls that are fake polls that CNN and these other right-wing people are quoting, and they are really fake polls. The guy that asked, if you recall, at the January 6th committee, they had him testify that long before the election took place, he knew from the polls, all suggested that Trump was going to lose. Well, he knew it. And I don't recall that guy's name that testified in front of the committee, but we need to get him on the show to set people straight, because I'll bet you he knows what's going on right now.
Yeah, the guy I want to get on is Simon Rosenberg. Sean has apparently reached out to him a couple of times, and because he publishes this thing called Hopium Chronicles over on Substack, and it's just brilliant. We'll get into that more in the future. Carol,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Have a great weekend. Brandon in San Jose. Hey, Brandon, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hey. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. Good. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So I wanted to bring up, it's not kind of related to the Louisiana governor thing, but I wanted to bring up the subject of race relations, in America.
Mm-hmm.
There's this old saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it's certainly been true in the South, especially in the Appalachian South. I've been rereading lately Huck Finn. And there's been a few things that have been striking me about it. Beyond the sheer brutality of the book, that you don't, I guess, I'm surprised that they assigned this book to children, or at least teenage children, considering how heavy the themes are. Another thing, obviously, is that the main character is friends with the slave.
Yeah, I have to admit, I never read Huckleberry Finn. I'm sorry, Brandon.
So, sure. Well, I guess
I'm broadly familiar with it. I mean, or loosely familiar with it, but I never read the book.
Sure. Well, I guess the point that I'm trying to get to is that it's kind of amazing how little things have changed, especially in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to inquire about is what did we do wrong after the Civil War? What should we have done?
Right.
Here's
my understanding of that era's history, and it's probably incomplete, and I'm certainly no scholar of that time. I know a lot more about the Revolutionary Era than I do the post-Civil War era. But basically, coming out of the Civil War, you had, on the one hand, you had a president, Andrew Johnson, who was Lincoln's vice president. He was Lincoln's second vice president. And for his second term, Lincoln wanted to try to heal America. So he brought in a Southerner, Andrew Johnson, who was also a slave owner. So you had a Southerner slave owner who ended up inheriting the White House, essentially, who was no friend to Reconstruction, to giving the vote to black people, to Lincoln's promise of 40 acres and a mule and all those kind of things. And...
Mm-hmm.
There was that. But on the other hand, once Johnson was out of there, I mean, Congress was horrified by this. And you had this faction called the Radical Republicans that was led by this guy named Thaddeus Stevens, a member of Congress. And they were, gung-ho to fully integrate America, do it now, do it tomorrow, make it happen. And in fact, you had, I believe it was South Carolina, might have been North Carolina, I'm pretty sure it was South Carolina. Actually, there was a majority black legislature, for a couple of years there. So we were moving in the right direction, and we were moving in that direction fairly rapidly, Andrew Johnson notwithstanding. And then we got President Ulysses S. Grant, who was a friend of the Radical Republicans and agreed with this and continued that process. And then after Grant's presidency, that brings us to the election of 1876. And in 1876, Sam Tilden, who was a Democrat, and at that time the Democrats were the party of slavery, Sam Tilden actually won, and most of the states had been essentially reintegrated, which is how Sam Tilden was able to win. He won the Electoral College vote, and he won the national vote. But Congress didn't want to seat him. And because he was a Southerner, and he was, he would have tried to end Reconstruction. So the deal that was cut And there was this controversy because there were three states. One of them was Oregon here. Oregon had been taken over by the Ku Klux Klan. And then two of the southern states, and I believe it was Georgia and Florida. It might have been Georgia and Alabama. I'd have to look it up. I've written about it, but I don't recall there were three states where the states submitted dueling slates of electors, just like Trump tried to do. They claimed that Tilden won, and then they claimed that Hayes had won. And because of that, because you had three states that had these dueling slates of electors, none of those electors got counted, and therefore the threshold for the Electoral College never got hit. Right now the threshold is 270 votes, or 270 Electoral College votes. Back then, I don't know what the number was, but it didn't get hit. And as a result, under the 12th Amendment, the election got thrown to the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives then created this committee that worked out this deal where they put Rutherford B. Hayes, the Republican, into office in exchange, and this is the deal they made with the Democrats, the Southern Democrats, in exchange for ending Reconstruction and basically throwing black people in America back into second-class status. And then that second-class status got ratified by the Supreme Court in 1898 in the decision, I'm forgetting the name of the decision, but it basically was the separate, Plessy versus Ferguson. It was separate but equal, that segregation was acceptable in the United States because segregation was reestablished in 1877. And so, you know, that's what we got wrong, in my opinion, Brandon, was the South wasn't crushed, and they weren't crushed, you know, after the Civil War, or at least the racist movement in the South was not crushed, in large part because Abraham Lincoln was dead and Andrew Johnson was president. And Ulysses Grant, who had fought the Civil War against the South, was also enamored of this idea of healing America, bringing us together, although he was, you know, moving the country in the right direction very, very quickly. But then when Hayes came in, that was the deal where African-Americans were stabbed in the back, black people were stabbed in the back by the white power structure. And, that led to, like in 1960, by 1965, 1964, when the Civil Rights Act was passed, 1965, the Voting Rights Act, only 7% of blacks in Louisiana were registered to vote. It was like 8 or 9% in Alabama, as I recall. The numbers are in one of my books. And it was because of that whole, you know, Plessy versus Ferguson decision and the Supreme Court basically backing up the white racists in the South and allowing them to prevent people from voting. So, I think the big thing that really destroyed it was the death of Lincoln, actually. Lincoln, earlier in his career, had been, I'm okay with, you know, blacks having second-class status. But by the middle of the Civil War, he had completely changed his mind, and he had kind of helped give birth to the radical Republican movement, if my recollection or understanding of the history of that time is accurate. And you know, I welcome any Civil War historians to correct me on any of my details. Sure. But I think that's, you know, in broad measure what happened. Does it make sense, Brandon?
Yeah, well, it's disheartening that we're still here in many ways.
We still are.
Yeah,
the lost cause never died. Brandon, thank you for the call. Yeah. It's 48 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Right back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale's going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus, special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit lumberliquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from, anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, C-A-P-T-E-R-R-A.com. Capterra.com.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. 8 minutes before the hour, picking up your calls here, Will in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Will, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing this morning? I wanted to talk a little bit about race. You know, I'll be right out. I'm on the phone. And what I wanted to say is, why is it, this is the Tom Hartman show I'm talking to. I want to know, why is it that every time you see a black man that now on TV or any of these shows, movies or whatever, he always either got to be a criminal or he has to be gay. Now, I did, you know, I just wanted to just speak on that, because all of us and some of us are Democrats and we're strong black men. You see what I'm saying? It's not that we're alienating anybody, but it's like they want to show us. And then when they do the talk shows, they get these gatekeepers on here that want to speak, that want to, what you say, speak truth to power. For instance, you just were speaking on the horoscopes. I mean, you know, the elements, the sky, you know what I'm saying, the solar system. But you didn't mention the Dogon tribe, you know, when they were, you know, when they go back, I mean, way beyond, you see what I'm saying, of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
you know,
my friend Steve Larson wrote a book about them.
Yeah, you see, and so this, you know, and then, you know, as far as black people, I just wanted to get onto this. Is being black, you can't be anti-Semitic because that's the area that you come from, that most black people come from in Africa before the, how would I say, the, I don't want to call it immigrants, but the new variety of people, Jews, came down here. You see what I'm saying? And then when we talk about some of these subjects, we don't talk, when we talk about racism, you know, for instance, I stay here in Buffalo. I was 10 minutes away from, about the fact I had just left out of the Tops when this racist came and shot those 10 people. When I got to the house, I do a lot of community work. When I got to the house, I got the call, so I had to come back down there.
Yeah, you know, was in your
but
town.
Then, you know, people, yeah, you know, so I'm still thinking about what's going on there. I have a city that now we have an influx of immigrants coming here, and some of them moved from Detroit, some of them moved from New York and all. They came in here 5 years ago. Right, they bought up all the stores. Right, after they bought up all the stores in our area, did something similar to what the Jews did in the 60s, right, in the 50s. Now, I don't mind them coming in, but they don't hire none of us. The point I'm trying to make is right after they did all that 6 months ago in Buffalo, we got on the news, oh, yeah, all these banks didn't redline black folks from getting businesses and jobs and everything else, or businesses and loans, you know, for the last 5-6 years. You see what I'm saying? The games they play at us. But they act like being Democrats. We have to sit back here and...
So, Will, what should we do about this?
You know, what I'm saying is that we need to work together. For instance, you know, here they are protesting, you know, about all this stuff going on over, you know, in overseas, these wars. But they're not protesting about Africa. They're not protesting about the books. You see what I'm saying? Them trying to take our history away. But most of them people that's trying to do, they immigrants themselves. We were here way before them. You know, by the fact, maybe for the way before the Mayflower, you know, and so people are not talking about this, but you'll go protest against this. But when it comes to us, you know, nobody protesting. They're protesting. By the fact, they still sending my tax money. You understand, to Texas, they still sending my tax money to Florida. They still sending it to Arizona. Why isn't people say, well, you know, some since you don't want to teach our history on it, we want to take the tax money y'all get from the federal government from you guys, since we can't play a part in that. Nobody's talking about these things. Because you get these gatekeepers on these talk shows that want to be, how would I say, peaceful. They want to, you know, get along with everybody and tell them the truth. Some of the things that the Democrats are doing, I just totally disagree with. Now, I am a Democrat, and I am going to vote Democrat this year. But they need to know everybody don't think the same way as Democrats. And they have people out here thinking all of us think the same. Yeah. And it's wrong. That's
God,
all
well. I'm saying. Well, I'm out of time. I'm sorry. But hey, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening to SiriusXM. And, yeah. There, he covered a lot of territory there. I'm sorry I don't have the time to respond to it. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us. That includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. Tomorrow, Jefferson Smith is going to hang out with me. We're going to have some interesting conversations, and it'll be Anything Goes Friday. So stick around. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Be good to yourself and people around you.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Telly's Treasures, their best-selling beef-flavored dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there. Sunny and 75. Almost a little chilly.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and big-time fan Rich LoCascio in studio. And host of Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins us to talk about Saturday night's show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.